Welcome back to the show. I am Tom Abraham. There has been a little bit of a move. I'm going to have to log in and go to the standings here and see where I'm at, Charlie. But we've made a little bit of a move here in Beardathon. And the only question now is whether or not I get to keep this thing after Easter. Whether I get to keep this thing after the middle of the week next week. We're going to find out in the next few days, that's for sure. Joining us now on the Grand Avenue Chauffeur Transportation VIP Hotline, the radio voice of the Nashville Predators and a fellow Cardinal. It's Tom Callahan. Callie, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing really, really well. I got no complaints. Just getting ready for some playoff hockey, and the excitement level is palpable.
It is palpable. You're playing Good Friday and Easter. It's a good thing Christmas isn't coming right around the corner. You'd be playing that day, too, I guess. So, but
no kidding. That's the one beautiful thing about the NHL. We're not the NBA. We don't play on Christmas.
There you go. That's right. No Christmas games. All right. I imagine it is palpable, and you know, the refrain has been, and what I've been spewing since Game 4, is that, look, it's one thing to win even within a series. I know the playoff intensity comes up, obviously, from going from the regular season to the playoffs. But then within a series, getting a couple of wins and getting win three and getting win four, the intensity continues to grow, and you got to match that intensity all the way. The guys, I'm sure the guys are aware of that. The question is, can they do anything about it? Are they maxed out, or do they realize that they've got to be ready from the time they go out there for the pregame warm-ups? There can't be any lollygagging in this game. What do you think?
No lollygaggers.
No lollygaggers.
No lollygaggers. You know what? I really feel like, Tom, that they are better prepared for this game coming out. And talking to Barry Trotz this morning, we actually had the conversation, and he had said, you know what? I knew we were loose before game four, he said, and I really felt that morning maybe a little too loose. I think Nashville felt good being up 2-1, but maybe that's a little bit of that inexperience coming through where they were very loose. And Barry said, you know what, I tried to turn that around starting with our morning meeting. He's like, but, you know, we kind of had to go out and have that game. Today, completely different. Game five, there was no soccer in the hallway. Everybody was out on the ice getting ready, getting prepared. They all had their skates on. Much more of a workmanlike feel, and I like that going into tonight.
That does sound good. All right, you got a situation here. Of course, Ruutu gets a game penalty. He gets suspended for a game for his hit on Erat, which is really what, according to Barry Trotz, a 5-minute suspension is what that would be, I think, for him being suspended for a game, taking out a guy, a 50-point guy like Erat. But they've got to fill in somewhere. Is it going to be Colin Wilson? Is it going to be J.P. Dumont?
That's a great question. And, you know, the other guy is always Cal O'Reilly in case Barry decided to put somebody in and shift him to the wing. I asked him this morning. He would not tip his hand. And really, not for lack of not wanting to say anything, but really I think he's still trying to figure out what the best possible matchup is. Dumont, you bring in, you know, playoff experience, a guy who's been there and just, I mean, experience, period. More of a veteran type of game. And, you know, when you put JP in the lineup after he's been out for a while, he always responds very well. On the other hand, with Wilson, a stronger guy, quicker, younger, should have better legs heading into it. But, you know, just inconsistent all throughout the regular season. And you don't want to put him in there and get an inconsistent effort out of him again here tonight, because this is not the time of year for that. So it's really going to be a curious choice for Barry Trotz. I think maybe he was leaning a little towards Colin Wilson, but I really didn't get the sense that he had by any means concretely made up his mind yet.
Yeah, see, but Colin Wilson's got to be hacked off. You know what I mean? He's got to be hungry beyond hungry. Not that JP's not, but JP's been around for a while. Colin Wilson, I would think, is just got to be chomping at the bit. He's got to be like a caged animal waiting to get out there. And you talked about the size and the strength. You know, there's going to have to be at some point in time a match of physicality in this deal, because the Ducks are going to keep punching him in the head. And I don't mean literally, but pretty much literally. And they're going to keep playing that kind of a game. And you got to be able to be big and to be strong. And, I mean, I like Wilson in that role.
Yeah, and, you know, it is possible that that's a big reason why if he does go in, he ends up playing in this series. On the other side of that, though, you know as well as I do, sometimes when you get a young guy out there, he gets geeked up for his first playoff game and then starts making irresponsible choices, ends up in the box, tries to be over-aggressive. I mean, that's the flip side of the coin. You might end up with something of that nature, too. And at least with JP going out there, you know, you don't have to worry about that as an issue. So he's going to have to taste the ice at some point. I mean, he's going to have to get that experience. I just don't know if 2-2 in a series that has ramped up as much as it already has against the Ducks now is the time. So But you know what? Fortunately, neither you nor I have to make that decision. That's squarely on the head of the coaching staff.
I don't have to make the decision on who's going to win the Vezina either. But it's kind of interesting that the three keepers that are all nominated for the finalists for the Vezina, Roberto Luongo in Vancouver, and of course Pax and Tim Thomas all in Boston, have kind of been lit up recently. Luongo especially, Pax with just I don't know exactly what that was all about. I'm not going to put that all on him. I saw a lot of turnovers and things like that, and that's a very capable scoring team if you cut them loose. The Ducks, they're gonna score like that. Tim Thomas has had some goals scored on him though during these playoffs as well. So it's kind of interesting how high scoring the playoffs has been, the opposite of what it normally is, and especially how the three guys that are finalists have been victimized a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, it just this is a playoffs unlike any I can remember. I don't remember there being this many goals, many power plays. This year just defies playoff convention. Is it more exciting for the fans? It actually probably is, because you really never know what's going to happen, and power plays can turn the game on a dime. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they have been plugged a little bit right now. And Pekka, talking to him this morning, he said he's very honored, as you would imagine, to secure the nomination for the Vezina. But on the other hand, he knows he hasn't played his best hockey yet. And defensively, this Predators team has not played its best hockey. Systematically, if you look at this series, it's gone the way of the Ducks. The fact that Nashville is playing Anaheim style of game and is still tied at two is kind of encouraging to me. I mean, you know, if Nashville is able to turn it around, start playing Predators hockey where it becomes close to the vest, geez, I like our chances even better. But the fact that we've been able to go against the Ducks, play their way, and still so far come out with a draw after four games is pretty impressive.
Yeah, we need an under game. We need a 3-2 game. You know, Preds win a 3-2 game, you know, and it'd be nice to be able to hold those guys down and frustrate them a little bit like that and let them grip on Easter Sunday when they come to town, and with the Preds having an opportunity to finish the deal off. So it would be very, very good. Did you see the very kind things that Pierre McGuire said about the crowd in Nashville and CNNSI?
I actually did not. I have not caught that yet. I did laugh when he got stopped in the hallway by our security guards.
What would they think, a kid had snuck in there or what? A little, you know.
Well, yeah, he is little. But no, they were stopping because they changed our procedures down in the hallway and they weren't letting anybody through. And then, you know, we had one of our PR guys went over and said, no, it's okay. He's here for an interview. So I thought that was kind of funny. But I actually did not catch it.
Here's what he said. I'll use this opportunity to share it with our listeners again as well in the 5 o'clock hour here. He said, the crowd in New York for Game 4 was so creative and so loud. The crowd in Washington, the crowd in Philadelphia, the opening in Buffalo. But the crowd that put me over the top in terms of appreciation was in Nashville before Game 3. That was just phenomenal. And then in the third period, when it looked like they were going to win that game, the people didn't sit down. They just stood and applauded and made noise, and they knew what they were cheering for. It was a phenomenal display. They've really become a sophisticated hockey market. I think that's one of the non-traditional markets that people who poo-poo the non-traditional markets are making a big mistake on with Nashville, because it is becoming a really good hockey market. There wasn't an empty seat. They had 17 sellouts in the regular season, and Game 3 was number 18. And Game 4 was number 19. So, that's pretty strong from a guy like Pierre McGuire.
Well, you know what I just heard all the way here in Southern California from Nashville was everybody driving in their car, listening in their office or online right now, go, well, duh. We know this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our fans, I've been impressed time again with our fans, and especially this year, like, there has been an extra vigor in the building and in the arena, and our fans cheer for things like cycling an entire offensive line during a shift with offensive pressure, or killing a penalty and extending yourself 45 seconds on a penalty kill. And I mean, things like that, I compare it, and again, I don't want to alienate baseball crowds for any fans, but I've been to a lot of ballparks, and in St. Louis, I feel like when I go to a Cardinals game, they cheer the nuances of the game. Yep. They really understand it, and I feel like our crowd is getting to that level and has displayed that to me all season long this year. Honestly, I mean, there are Canadian markets we've been in that I won't name, but the fans are more checked out and disinterested in those buildings than what we have going on, and, you know, it's just, I think it's fantastic. I absolutely love our crowds, and anybody who says that, you know, our fans don't know what's going on just simply hasn't been here or it's sour grapes.
Well, I think some of those people in those markets that you're talking about up north, I mean, they almost feel like they've got to be there. They almost feel, I mean, that's what they do, and it's kind of a been there, done that. There's nothing about it that is, you know, they're not really choosing it as much. You know, it's like those of us who we say, northern by birth and southern by choice. Well, I think that's the way the hockey fan is here. These people want to be there. These people here, they don't need to be there. They need to be at the UT game. They need to be at the Alabama game. That's where they need to be. But they want to be at that hockey game. And look, it's not rocket science. I mean, all the rules you could put on one sheet of paper. I mean, once you figure out the icing and they took out the red line, you pretty much know the deal, you know? I always get a kick out of these fans. Well, you don't understand the subtleties and the nuances. No, you can figure it out. 11 years in, you can figure it out. And this crowd, let's face it, this is a melting pot region, and you know, a lot of these people are from other areas and so on, and I think they get it. I think they understand it. I think it's very condescending to say that they don't get it, especially in this town. It's not Miami, it's not Tampa, it's Nashville. We're like midway down, you know. We're not like all the way down there. It's not that non-traditional, I think.
That's right. And you know what, none of us were born knowing hockey or right. basketball or baseball or football. I mean, odds are we could have picked up crocheting just as easily, but we didn't. We made ourselves sports fans because that's what we love and that's what we want to do. And if you love something, you've got a passion for it, and our fans have that passion for hockey, of course you're going to learn it. And, I mean, that's just, they've picked it up, they've run with it, and you're right. I feel like sometimes it's almost you have to be there. It's almost like, well, it's the fashionable thing to do. But in our town, man, you've got to want it because it's a lot easier to be derided for going to a hockey game and blowing off, say, a Titans game or something like that than it would be to do anything else.
That's the thing about our market that irritates me the most is the part of the media that like to, you know, that want to mock it just for the sake of mocking it, because they've been mocking it because it'll never work here, because it's the South, and they just want to mock it because that's what you do, and they never really give it the real opportunity and take it for the face value of what it is. And you know what? The people have spoken. They're down there, okay? They have spoken. So I think that it's, I think it's something that's certainly here to stay. And God forbid they come back on Easter Sunday and finish off the Ducks and then have that next series coming up against, well, maybe Vancouver, maybe not, because they're gripping a little bit up in the Great Northwest as well, I would think.
No
so.
Kidding.
All right, man, appreciate you as always, Tommy. Great job tonight. We'll be listening.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me on, and I'll tell you what, I don't know if it's going to settle down any tonight. I would imagine you will see the best game yet in the series tonight, I'm calling it.
Nice. There you go. 3-2 Predators. That's my pick. That's going to do it for us. Enjoy your resurrection weekend. Remember, this is the holiest of all holidays for a Christian, and enjoy it. Truly celebrate it and enjoy it. And I'm not talking about those eggs.